Thank you. Greetings to you today in the wonderful name of our living Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today I want to share with you the great truth on how to avoid being a failure. The simplicity of the Word of God, the Bible, my friend, is astounding. Most of us have too much complicated theology and not enough simple believing. We are encased in so many negatives that even the positives are shrouded in darkness. We make God too difficult. Nobody wants to be a failure. God wants no failures. Then why be one? You don't have to be if you don't want to. This is the exact meaning of this particular broadcast today. Remember the story of the woman who lost one of the 10 pieces of silver? Diligently she searched until she found it. After she came upon it, she called in all the neighbors and had a celebration because, having lost the little piece of silver worth a few cents in United States currency, she finally found it. All the neighbors rejoiced with her. Can you imagine a little town in your section of the country getting excited over a few cents, let alone all the neighbors becoming so animated about it? How did this woman avoid being a failure, and what's the significance of it? The record is in Luke 15, beginning with verse 8. What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There are 3 interesting stories in the 15th chapter of Luke, and all 3 deal with the same major subject. The first pertains to a shepherd having 100 sheep, only 99 of which are safe and sound. The 3rd story is the one most people have erroneously called the story of the prodigal son. More appropriately, it's the story of the forgiving father. The 2nd is a story of a woman who avoided being a failure because she found one little piece of silver. You may laugh, but it's true. Her husband would have put her out of the house had she not found the lost piece of silver. Thus, she would have been a failure as far as the whole town, including men and women, was concerned. These pieces of silver are not merely 10 ordinary pieces of money or 10 coins with little significance. They are the most precious gift the bride receives from her bridegroom at the time of their marriage. Each piece of silver is approximately the size of an American quarter. On one side of the piece of silver is engraved the insignia by which that particular family is known. If the family crest happened to be a sheep, well fed, protected, and safe, that picture would be engraved on one side of all 10 pieces of silver. On the other side would be stamped the year in which the piece of silver was made. The husband gives this special dowry to his wife on their wedding day. As for dollars and cents, it isn't worth much, but the sentimental value is priceless. Money is no replacement for the lost piece of silver. Both now and during the lifetime of Jesus, women in the Orient often received lavish gifts of jewelry at the time of marriage. All the jewelry a woman receives becomes her own property and possession, with the exception of the 10 pieces of silver. She has all the legal rights to all her jewelry. The husband has none. He cannot take her jewelry away under any circumstances, with one exception: the one jewel called the 10 pieces of silver. This jewel, in the event of the husband's death, must be handed back immediately to the husband's side of the family. The jewel called the 10 pieces of silver is worn by the wife only on very special occasions. Because of her love for her husband, she may put them on while her husband is away at work and gaze at herself in a mirror, for instance, appreciative of her husband's gift and love. Because they are so precious to her, she seldom wears them for fear of losing one. The 25th or 50th wedding anniversary would call for their wearing. Nothing less than the most special occasion. When the wife does wear the 10 pieces of silver jewelry, she wears 5 pieces of silver on one side of her head towards the front of the head, and the other 5 pieces on the other side of her head. each piece of silver has a little hook at the top. With these hooks, the wife fastens the pieces of silver in her hair. Thus you can understand how easily one piece or a number of them might become unhooked, and without her noticing it, she would lose them. If she loses any of the pieces of silver, she will be put out of the house by her husband. The husband will not divorce her, be angry with her because of this, but simply expels the wife, for she has disgraced him and his house and has brought reproach upon his family. The husband disposes of his spouse not because of the monetary value of the 10 pieces of silver, but because losing one of its pieces of silver means the withdrawal of God's favor from the family. The loss of a piece of silver is looked upon as a curse on the whole family. Neither the husband nor the parents have spitefulness for her, but the wife will receive no sympathy from her husband, his parents, or her other in-laws. $1,000,000 given by the wife's family to the husband would not rectify matters. When the wife loses a piece of silver, the whole town is concerned about her, for they know the consequences of being dishonored and expelled. The women of the entire city know that she must endure what she must endure. Therefore, when the wife finds the lost piece of silver and knows that it's safe and secure, she calls in all her neighbors to rejoice with her over the piece of silver which she has found. She avoided being a failure. We too can avoid being a failure by putting first things first. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek anything else first, and all things will be subtracted from you." We're God's most precious creation. He wants no failures, and He makes no failures. He wills for us success in every situation. The first step in this ladder of success is for a sinner to repent. Repentance is for the unsaved sinner. Confession is for the saved sinner. God's love, the Father's heart, so yearns for the lost one that the church will spend itself unreservedly, leaving nothing undone in order to find the one precious lost jewel. Who is that jewel? Each one of us, if we have not accepted Him. You say, "What must I do?" The Father says, "Repent." How do you repent? Repentance is doing the will of God. It is not crying your eyes out, singing hymns, or running to an altar. All of these may or may not be involved, yet they're not repentance. Repentance is to do what God says, and He says in Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Repentance on your part is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It is to believe in your heart, your innermost being, that God has raised Him from the dead. But you say, "Can I still do this? Can I rise up beyond all failure? Can I be sure?" Yes, you can be as sure as God Himself, for He stands behind His word. He backs up His word. "In Him you are complete. You are a son of God, joint heir with Christ Jesus." He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore come, avoid being a failure." You are the one, my friend, to now decide whether to believe Him or toss Him aside. You are the one to make up your mind whether to accept Him or linger behind. Take Him or leave Him, what will you do? Believing is assurance of no failure for you. Have a good day, for I love you and God loves you. Father, I surely thank You for Your great presence and power and Your blessing on our people this day, giving them a great day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.